I'm Marianne Kobasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Aaron Weissman, CISO at Mainline Health, a nonprofit health system that includes four hospitals and multiple outpatient care facilities in the Philadelphia area. We're going to be discussing steps that Mainline Health has taken to improve visibility and control over all the connected assets within its healthcare system, especially medical devices, IoT and OT devices. So, Aaron, for starters, please tell us a little bit about Mainline Health and some of the challenges that you were facing in terms of medical devices, IoT, OT gear in your environment.
So Mainline Health has a number of different facilities, all of which have biomedical devices spread throughout them. So the challenge we had was trying to conceptualize where those devices are, what they were being used for, whether or not they were traveling between locations, et cetera, right? So we wanted visibility into our entire IT and IoT stack. So we looked at ARMUS as one of our potential solutions, and it provides fantastic visibility into exactly what we needed. So we selected ARMUS, deployed it, and since then have been very, very happy with the results.
Aaron, how has that solution improved your visibility and management of medical and IoT and OT devices, especially from a security perspective? What were some of the challenges?
Yeah, so one challenge we had was being able to actually see and quantify the devices and then make decisions about those devices, whether the devices were risky, what vulnerabilities the devices had, if security events were happening to those devices, et cetera. So ARMUS primarily ticks the box for that. It gives us pretty much full visibility. Anything that hits our network, we're able to see. It gets an entry in ARMUS, and we're able to make informed decisions about what we're going to do with respect to that device. We've also been able to leverage ARMUS to figure out where our devices are. As patients travel between our locations, so too do our biomedical devices. And that travel means that asset inventories at each location are typically off. So we're able to provide information for those asset inventories to say, hey, this device belongs at one of our hospitals, not the hospital it's currently in. Let's make sure it gets back there at some point, or that we update our asset inventories to reflect that. And then finally, one of the uses we've been using ARMUS for recently is more intelligent decision making around resource utilization. So, where are devices being used, when, and how, in order to better understand whether or not certain business lines are performing up to snuff. If there are issues, what are those issues, et cetera? So we're able to provide the baseline information to sort of continue those investigations, if you will.
So, Aaron, how many devices are you managing and securing with this platform? And what exactly does the platform allow you to do from a cybersecurity perspective that you were not able to do previously?
Yeah, so we're in the low six figures as far as the number of devices in the platform. And from a cybersecurity perspective, it gives us that visibility, right? I think it's critical to be able to see what is on your network at any given time, to be able to say, hey, this is appropriately on the network, or it's inappropriate to be on our network. It should be on, say, a guest network or, not connected at all. We're also able to see vulnerability data and recall information for all of our devices. So if there are critical vulnerabilities impacting a device that are being leveraged in the cybersecurity environment at large, in order to actually affect attacks, we want to be able to know that so that we can mitigate against those attacks and take actions to really reduce the impact and spread of those events.
So, Aaron, how long did it take to fully implement the ARMUS solution? And were there any significant challenges or obstacles faced during the implementation?
So full implementation didn't take very long. I have to think back. I think we only took a few months to actually deploy ARMUS in our environment and get information. Pretty much everything post-implementation has been refining to improve our magnification. So what we wanted to achieve was being able to understand where any device is in our environment at any given time. Right now, we're pretty much down to a switch level. So if a device is within a specific unit, we're able to tell that it's within that unit, which is just about where we wanted to be. So getting from organizationally, here are all your devices, to that has been the lion's share of the work. And I consider all of that refinement, not implementation, right? And, depending on what level of magnification you want, what level of information you want about your devices, that could take longer or shorter. But the actual deployment and implementation was very, very quick.
And often we hear that larger healthcare organizations often don't even know how many devices they have in their organizations because sometimes they're a result of an acquisition or, you know, there's new practices that join part of their physician groups or whatever. Were there any discoveries that you made once you implemented this? Did you find devices that perhaps you were maybe unaware of or they were legacy devices? And what sorts of challenges did that involve, you know, once you found them and knowing that, you know, they needed to be secure as well?
Yeah. So we were using different asset management system for identifying devices on our network. And we doubled our numbers overnight by switching to Armis, which was a bit of a surprise for us. So we had to sort of reconcile, okay, clearly we didn't have full visibility of our network. We didn't have full device visibility. It was discounting some devices, et cetera. You know, what does this look like now? And that, of course, raised the question of, okay, is Armis providing us an accurate count of all the devices on our network? So we've been able to reconcile with a number of different data sources to say confidently, yes, you know, we are seeing all the devices on our network. You know, and it really revealed a shortcoming of other, at least one other solution that we didn't think would be a shortcoming. So that was sort of eye-opening.
Based on that, you know, what kind of advice do you have for other healthcare organizations that also might be sort of in the dark about, you know, exactly what is on their network when it comes to these devices? And what kinds of devices did you find that, you know, you before they weren't as visible?
For that second question, I wish I had a more robust answer than, you know, we did this 3 years ago and I can't recall. You know, I think it's just, I don't think it was a specific class of devices. I think we were just missing large parts of our network as a result of how our prior solution was configured, you know, and how it worked on our network. So, you know, my biggest recommendation would be trust but verify. Don't just trust a tool that you have. Make sure that the tool is actually doing what it says. And, you know, if you have to come up with a creative way to audit that, you know, enlist help to do that, right? Try and find somebody or some group that is able to help identify, hey, here are the things you should be looking for when it comes to evaluating the efficacy of your device or, you know, infrastructure, excuse me, you know, and then pursue that to actually validate that the infrastructure is working appropriately.
And when it comes to the sorts of devices, we talked about medical devices, IoT devices, OT. Does that also include, you know, laptops that connect to your systems, you know, external drives? What sorts of devices are we talking about specifically?
Yeah, so we're able to see laptops. We aren't able to see external drives in Armis, but we are able to see some biomedical devices that connect via USB to devices. And because we tied in our endpoint detection and response system, which does block USB drives, we're able to get alerts in Armis about, you know, whether or not someone's attempted to plug in a USB drive. So we are able to get to that level. We're also able to differentiate between different kinds of devices on our network. So, you know, when I was talking about magnification earlier, one of the things we wanted to be able to do was, instead of saying, hey, we have 2,000 printers on our network, we wanted to be able to say, okay, we have 1,000 MFDs, we have 500 medication printers, we have 500 patient label printers, et cetera. So, you know, we wanted to get to the point where each different kind of device within a class of device, we were monitoring for as well. And again, that really depends on, you know, how much you think you need as a, you know, security office to be able to determine whether or not something is operating safely on your network and should be on your network.
And Aaron, what other sorts of medical device, IoT, cybersecurity challenges are you dealing with right now, aside from, you know, taking care of all this asset management sort of issues?
Yeah, I think a hot button topic for the entire healthcare industry is network segmentation, and we're not immune from that. So we are going through a network segmentation and micro-segmentation project right now. And really the thrust of those projects is, once someone is in your environment and they execute a cyber attack, whether it be ransomware, data exfiltration, or other kind of attack within your environment, you want to be able to limit the blast radius of that attack very quickly. And network segmentation and micro segmentation are the ways to do that. So we're working on trying to effectively split up our environment into as small of a unit as possible in order to be able to stop the spread of ransomware, cyber attack, what have you.
And when it comes to network segmentation, what are some of the top challenges? You know, what are some of the difficulties in doing that? And what have you learned in doing that that might be helpful to other healthcare CISOs?
Yeah, I think some of the difficulties are it relies on a certain level of fundamental network hygiene that I think a lot of organizations aren't necessarily up to snuff on. So I'd say, make sure you're doing all the basics and cleaning up your network, making sure everything's patched, making sure everything is operating as it should be, et cetera. And then other challenges are we're making changes in production environments, right? So we're able to model what changes to different rules are going to look like. But ultimately, when we apply those rules, we're applying them for the first time in a production environment on machines that are connected to patients. So that's a very daunting prospect for a lot of people. And you have to really be able to build confidence with your clinical operations staff in your capabilities in the space and partner with them heavily so that they feel invested in the solution as well.
And finally, Aaron, as you look at the cyber threat landscape in healthcare, what keeps you up at night right now?
Literally everything, unfortunately. We're seeing a higher volume of cyber attacks, more sophisticated cyber attacks. As Change Healthcare and other attacks have revealed, there's a lot of interconnected systems. So even if your organization isn't attacked, other organizations being brought down can have significant and widespread industry impacts. I think it's difficult to just sort of narrow it down to one thing, given how uncertain the entire environment seems. But, I also don't want to seem alarmist. Like, I think there's a lot good going on, on the government side, privately, et cetera. And quite frankly, the cybersecurity solution industry has never been more robust. So if you have a problem, there's likely a solution out there for it, or it'll be quickly coming to market.
Well, thank you so much, Aaron. I've been speaking to Aaron Weissman. I am Mary Ann Kolbasuk-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.